after all those in fellowship times that we have. So we're going to lift up a word for Lola. So let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Thank you for your blessings. Thank you that we just have been blessed with young people. And Father, we pray that as they go to the class, they'll be able to learn a lot and use it to their everyday life. Father, we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we've been studying the church. And the church is an interesting topic, needless to say. And the church has the... No, you can't have it. Ta-da. Something worked once. So good. We've been looking at the church as, first of all, the body of Christ. And one of the things you find out about the body, you need all the body parts. Okay? That's pretty clear. You need the body parts. It's taught in 1 Corinthians 12, taught in other places. And the church is the body of Christ. But this body is special, not just any old body. It's a bride. And that's the second metaphor that we find that the Lord uses. It is we as the church are the body of Christ, and we are the bride of Christ. Now, one thing about that, you have to put all of it together. So I've always wondered about when is the rapture going to happen? Well, if the Lord's in the process of building this, don't you think he's going to get it finished? Okay? The body's not going to be incomplete. The bride is not going to be incomplete. And the third metaphor is the building of God. It's not going to be like some shopping malls we may have seen that they abandoned the work after 6 months because they ran out of money. Okay? This is going to be completed. They're exactly... He's an architect that can calculate exactly the number of stones that go in the building and how many he wants. Because he's building us as a temple. If you read 1 Corinthians 3:16, it says, "Do you not know that you all," it's a plural, I love the good old Oklahoma slang, "are a temple." Now, often that's taken as my body is a temple. This human body is a temple. It is in a sense, but that's not what those two verses are teaching. You all are a body. It's literally what it says. So we are the temple of God as a corporate church, not as an individual. It's what those verses are teaching. Now, the church is the building of God. Where we find that is these basic verses, 1 Corinthians chapter 3. If you would turn there with me, this is a great verse. I got too long-winded and took too long to change out that cord, but... Anyway, I promised to get you out in time to watch the Thunder game tonight. So here we are. 1 Corinthians 3:10, "According to the grace of God that was given to me," Paul talking, "as a wise master builder, I laid a foundation. And another is building upon it, but let each man be careful how he builds upon it." So Paul, the apostle, was given a calling. And with that calling, he was to put together a structure. And he says, what I build, if you're going to try to build on top of it, be careful how you do it. That's what he's saying. "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Jesus is the foundation of this building. We can't ever forget that. "Now, if any man builds upon the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each man's work will become evident, for the day will show it, because it is revealed with fire, and the fire itself will test the quality of each man's work. So here we are, saved by grace through faith," Ephesians 2, 8, and 9, verse 10, "but we are made for good works." The works come after we're saved. The works don't come to get us saved, prove we're saved, or keep us saved. Okay? The works are something we do after we are saved, because salvation is all of grace. He says, you start building on this. Gold, silver, precious stones, when you start looking at some of the symbolism that gold goes with, it's usually connected to deity. It's not connected to Donald Trump in the Bible. Okay? Okay? Gold is a picture of deity. Okay? What things do you do just because God is God and you're serving Him? That's the stuff with the gold. Silver. Silver is a picture of redemption in the Bible. What things do you do for God because of what He did for you? That's the silver stuff. And precious stones. Precious stones is connected with priesthood. So what things you do because you're a priest? We lift up the sacrifice of praise. We share. We do good. Hebrews 13. That's what we do. That's the precious stone. So you want to know where these rewards come from? What things do you do for God because He's God? What things do you do for Him because of what He did for you? What things do you do for Him? You might even say out of duty, because you're a priest and He made you a priest out of grace, not of your own works. So if each man's work is burnt, what about the wood, hay, and straw? That's all the junk we did, right? Thrown into a fire. Wood, hay, and straw doesn't survive a fire. We've seen that in the forest fires in Oklahoma and California and all over the place. Wood, hay, and straw is just kindling for the fire. If any man's work is burned up, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved as though through fire. Some people are going to stand in front of the Lord. This happens at the Bema seat of Christ, which Paul will give them the information in 2 Corinthians about the judgment seat of Christ. He's going to give them that, and he says, yeah, you might not have anything. You did all this work just to impress people. You did all this work as a Pharisee. You did all this work, and it's going to go poof when it hits the fire. But you shall be saved. He tells that to the Corinthians, who messed up everything you could mess up and still be called saints. 1 Corinthians 1:2, they're called saints to the saints who are in Corinth. A saint is a believer. It's not somebody that's performed 3 miracles during their life, or 2, or all those other things that they add to them. Okay? What it is you are a saint because of a miracle He did because for you. So, turn to Ephesians 2:19 with me, if you will. It says, so then you're no longer strangers and aliens. Now, he's talking to Gentiles here. Okay? It's nice to know that we're all aliens on earth. Just like Abraham confessed that he was a stranger and alien on planet earth. Abraham said, I'm just passing through this place. Okay, so that God blessed him with a lot of things, but the things didn't go to his head. It was about the Lord and being obedient to the Lord. They didn't go to his head. He says, and you confess you're a stranger and an alien on this earth, but you're fellow citizens with the saints. You're of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets. Now, this is one of those weird constructions that Helen would tell me to move on. Okay? This is a plural, definite article, plural. The apostles. Connector chi, which is and, even, and several other things. And then another noun without a definite article. If it had a definite article, it'd be two different things. Okay? The apostles and the prophets would be two different things. Instead, it's the apostles, even prophets. And as I mentioned, called the Granville Sharp Rule. It's a principle. It works for singulars. Some people argue whether or not it works for plurals. And I've checked almost every plural construction in the New Testament, and I found that it just about always works without any question. The apostles, even prophets. So apostles were prophets. The apostles, even prophets, Christ Jesus Himself, being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building, see that the church is a building here, the whole building, being fitted together, is growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So this whole, we as living stones in this building, we are growing into a holy temple in the Lord. So we are the body, the bride, and the temple, if you want to call it that. That's what we are as the church. In whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. The church should be the dwelling place of God. It's I had heard a guy a long time ago say, why is it we spent $50 billion on church buildings to honor a God who does not dwell in buildings made with hands? That's just typical. We have a building because we have a common place to meet. That's all fine and good. But it kind of reaches a point. You got to keep physical structures in their proper place. If the Lord's not first inside the building, it doesn't matter what the building's like. It's just a building. It's kind of like rip your hearts and not your garments that Joel wrote in Joel 2 today. He's more interested about the inside of us. 1 Peter 2, if you want to go there real quick. In coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, coming to him as a living stone, rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God. You also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood. So here we are. Guess what? We are the temple of God, and who works inside the temple? Priest. So he made us qualified to go inside the temple as priest. It wasn't that you had to be of the tribe of Levi and following through Aaron to go in as a high priest or anything. That was done away with because he said, all right, all of you are priests. To offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. That's what the writer of Hebrews in chapter 13, verse 15 to 17 talks about. You know, to offer up those spiritual sacrifices. For this is contained in Scripture, behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed. When you talk about a promise, there it is. He who believes in him will not be disappointed. This precious value then is for you who believe. But for those who disbelieve, the stone that the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. So a few things we can take away from this real quick. First of all, the foundation is Jesus Christ himself. Now, himself, 1 Corinthians 3:11, we just read it. No man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Last week we sang, the church is one foundation. Great song, church is one foundation, Jesus Christ our Lord. We are his new creation by water and the word. I mean, such a wonderful doctrinally sound song that is. The foundation is Jesus Christ himself. The foundation is said to be made up of apostles, even prophets. And that's the verse that we just read, Ephesians 2:20. Okay? I believe the apostles, the original 12 apostles, had all the gifts, all the spiritual gifts, because they were going to be dispersed into all the world. So they would be able to display all the spiritual gifts to churches that they would go and found and establish. Okay? Like the apostle Thomas traveling across southern India. Speaking according to the natives there, probably 200 different languages, you know, the gift of languages. He was able to speak. He was able to interpret. He was able to discern spirits. He was able to prophesy. He was able to do all those things because that he had all the gifts, I believe, as an apostle. But to the rest of us, I think he just gave us one, and that Peter says, as each of you has received a gift, use it in serving one another. And I think that when it got to past that first century, he just said, all right, each of you have one gift. Use it. And what he also said is be dependent on one another. Because if you got 10 gifts or how many ever it is, you got a few permanent gifts, you have to be dependent on one another to use the gifts properly. Not stand out in front and say, I've got four or five, I got seven gifts today. Now, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. If you have a gift, it's not revoked. So, anyway, Ephesians 3, "For this reason I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of the Gentiles, if indeed you have heard of the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you." Stewardship is oikonomos. It's a beautiful word, and basically the word for dispensation. Nomos means law. Oikos means house. So stewardship would be better translated law of the house. That's literally what it means. So what is the law of the house? It's what God sets up to go with each priesthood. Where there's a change of priesthood, there's a change of law. Okay? We don't offer the animal sacrifices. We offer ourself, Romans 12. Present your body a living holy sacrifice. It's a totally different priestly sacrificial system. He says that by revelation there was made known to me the mystery. This is the church is the mystery. As I wrote before in brief. And by referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ. Okay, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, but has now been revealed to his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. To be specific, the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel. That's quite a mystery, isn't it? They've always been able to be saved. Gentiles have always been able to be saved. That's found within the Mosaic Law. Okay? They can become believers in the Mosaic Law. You have the Roman centurion that he asked the Lord, "Would you heal my son?" He was a believer. He was anything but a Jew. And he was in the first century, but he was a believer. Okay? So, it's said to be made up of the apostles, even prophets. So the apostles were fully molded into the foundation stone with Jesus Christ being the boss. Now, this is a good place to shut off for today, even though I just get my throat cleared. Standards are set by the chief cornerstone. Jesus Christ, the chief cornerstone. We have a cornerstone. Cornerstone. All the lines and angles are laid out from the cornerstone. We set up we did a training center in Southeast Asia. And my buddy Bob Thompson was there. And our friend had this idea. We were going to have a training center in South there next to his house. And so Bob was there and they laid the cornerstone. And all of us are thinking, we don't have any money to build this stupid thing. How are we going to build this? It's going to cost $50,000 that we don't have. Okay? But he took the step of faith, our friend did, and Bob joined in with him, I guess just to humor him at the time. And within 6 months, we had the money to build it. So he laid out the cornerstone, which is still there, because from the cornerstone, that's where you get all your straight lines, you get your diagonals. That's how you lay out the building. That's where it comes from. That's why Jesus is called the cornerstone. Because when you look at straight lines, that's righteousness. He tells us the standard of righteousness. And also, the things that go counter to that, which is evil. So laying out the cornerstone is a picture of he's the one that makes the decisions concerning good and evil. Wow. So much to learn from the church as the building of God. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your mercy and grace. We thank you for your blessings and tests. We thank you for your amazing word. Father, every time we open it up, we find new things that maybe we've read before but didn't understand quite as well. And Father, we are just awestruck by the fact that you are who you say you are, and you have proven it throughout history. Father, we do look forward to the day when the trumpet sounds and our Lord comes back to get us. And Father, we pray that we will be ready whenever this happens. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.